Shalom. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for a new week. And here we are, grace has brought us from far and near, north, south, east, and west. And we are gathered at his feet to start this new week. We thank the Lord for this grace. Shall we bow our heads as we commit our Sunday schools, the children, the youths, and we the adults here into the hands of the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, when we see another day like this, O God, especially even, O God, the beginning of a new week, and when we find ourselves in no other place but in your presence, Lord, to begin the week, Lord, it is a great joy, and we see us as a blessing, Lord, a privilege for us, Lord. So, Father, we've come from far and near, Lord. We've come with all reverence, with all obedience, to come and sit at your feet, Lord, to hear a word of God that will keep us through the week and beyond, Lord. And, Father, we want to start today's activities, Lord, committing all into your hands, asking this Holy Spirit to sweep over our Sunday schools, the children, the youths, and we, the adults here, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, the teacher, the author of the word, come and lay your hands upon our studies this morning and bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. without thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Shall we be seated for a while before we read our scripture? Yeah, our last study is on the Ephesian church. We saw that the angel messenger to that church, Ephesus, Apostle Paul, he never failed to keep the church being reminded always to stay by the gospel that they have heard. And again, also, he never failed to remind the church of infiltration, which the prophet calls the invasion of error. He asked them to be watchful and to be always vigilant, because the enemy, when God takes a step, he also takes a step. Everywhere he is. Praise the Lord. And we find out also how, on his last time, he was about to travel to Jerusalem, he should have gone to Ephesus to meet the church. But it was in Miletus that he has to take the ship. And so he called the elders to come and meet him there. And after a very solemn meeting with them, everybody thought that the Ephesus church will go back and hold on to all the things that Apostle Paul, the angel messenger to that age, had what given to them. But they went and let down the bar. It's an example to us. Because as a church, as individuals, yes, the enemy, 24 hours, he's behind us. If you relax, he'll give you something to do. So these are all examples unto us that we got to be always vigilant and make sure that we stay by the word, the message that has been given unto us. And in that last meeting in Miletus, Apostle Paul told them something. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Praise the Lord. That warning is to us also, that we got to be what? Always vigilant. So we are going to continue. And when they went, they let down the bar, and a spirit came into the church, the Nicolaitan spirit. It came in so softly. And that's what we are going to follow. We are going to trace this spirit, because it went through the whole of the seven church ages. So we are going to trace this spirit, what it did and what it is doing today. Amen. Amen. So we will start from last week where we left off our slides. Where we left off, we saw that he said this Nicolai group remained a part of the first age, doing their deeds. Go to 23. Yes. Yeah. This Nicolai group remained a part of the first age. So when the spirit entered into the church, they didn't what? Stop that spirit. So he said, this Nicolai group remained a part of the first age. First age, that time, it was a spirit. It was a spirit. Doing their deeds, and the deeds were hated, but the people were not rendered impotent. That's one sad thing. You hate something. Even Christ said, I also hate it. And so the prophet went on. All right, now, what was the spiritual climate of that church? It had left its first love. Leaving its first love of the word of God was revealed to us as what? Having fallen from its original origin, which was what? Pentecost. Today, what is the spiritual climate of the church? Lukewarmness. That is spiritual climate of Laodicea. Lukewarmness. So the prophet said, in plain English, that means this church was in danger of being taken away from the leading of the Holy Spirit, the control of the Spirit. This was exactly what took place after Moses led Israel out of Egypt. We know when they left Egypt, they went into the wilderness. They tried to be like what? Other nations. The word of God. Now, as we want to trace this Nicolai group, we need to connect this Nicolai group to Revelation 4, 5, and 6. So that when we have traced this spirit, then we will come back again to continue to finish the Ephesus church and then the following church as Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. So let us now look at Revelation 4:1. We want to trace what? That spirit, the Nicolaitan spirit. It said, after this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on it. Let's watch it. Apostle John saw one sat on the throne. One and not three. Because these are all the end of it, what Nicolaitan spirit brought to the church. John saw one seated, not three. Now we go to Revelation 5:1. He saw someone, one seated on what? On the throne, isn't it? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Then let's go to Revelation 5:2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. My, what book is that? Could be a mysterious book. And I wept much. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book thereof. The book thereon. Why Apostle Paul was so much concerned about this book? Because it was the book of redemption. All our what? Life is there. The thing that will save the church, you and me, everything was in this book. And no one was able to until what? The lion of the tribe of Judah, the form of the lamb, went and took the book from the one that was seated on the throne. Amen. So now from here, we go to Revelation 6, 1, 2. So you see, Revelation 4, 1, 2, and then it continues. It comes to Revelation 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then from there, it goes to what? Revelation 1, 2, 6, 1, 2. So let's go to Revelation 6, 1, 2. And I saw when the lamb opened one, that was the opening of the seals now. Revelation 4, he saw a throne. Revelation 5, he saw one seated on the throne with what? The book in his hand, sealed with what? Seven seals. And then Revelation 6, the beginning of what? The opening of the seals. And I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Take notice of that. And a crown was given unto him. Who gave him that crown? And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Amen. Now come back toward the church age, Ephesus. That spirit that was in the church was doing what? Conquering the laity. That's the meaning of Nicolaitan. Are you catching it? Yes. When you come back to the church age, Ephesus, that spirit that came into the church was conquering the laity. So now we are tracing that spirit now when the first seal was opened. And what John saw was, behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the Nicolaitan spirit. Are you catching it? Why is it not moving anymore? Praise the Lord. And so, this Nicolaitan spirit, when we want to trace it, we could see that it is what? That same that was conquering. That's the symbol form. Because everything that John saw, they were in what? Symbols. And you see, he took the white horse to deceive. The purpose was to deceive the church. When he came into the church in Ephesus, he showed like he was what? An angel of light, that spirit. That he holds what? The truth. You see?
And so now, this interpretation, for instance, we are not against anyone, the way how he, the church, or any person, the way how he interprets it. But look at the deception, because you and me, we were deceived also. Until what? Revelation 10:7 came to fulfill all what? Hidden mysteries. And so you could see that Jehovah Witnesses, he said, the rider on the white horse in Revelation 6:2 represents Jesus acting in his role as a newly enthroned heavenly king. See, they view that white horse as a, something righteous, something holy event marked a major turning point in the human history. That's the way how. You see the deception? Because he was riding what? A white horse. And Jesus will be coming riding a white horse. That's Revelation 19:11. You see the deception? And the same thing, the mainstream Adventist theology also, officially they said, the white horse represents purity, success, and rapid expansion of the Christian church during the apostolic era. We are not against anybody's, but we want the truth. Amen. They said the rider also is what? Jesus Christ. But you cannot compare this Revelation 6:2 to what? Revelation 19:11. That's the way how Satan comes in and deceives everyone. And then the prophet said, the rider in Revelation 6:2, he hasn't got a name. But the rider in Revelation 19:11, he has a name. Faithful and true. Amen. So there is a difference between these two horse riders. Please change it for me. Okay, let me read. So we could see that Revelation is very, very important. Revelation to the church is very, very important. Church without revelation, you are lost. Amen. And this scripture, I know my precious brother David likes it very much. In Revelation, in the church age book. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about what? This book of Revelation and you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Revelation, tremendously important to the church. Else, like Brother Eli was preaching, Satan will make you worship like you are worshiping Christ, but you are worshiping something else. So revelation unveils, it opens what? All the works of Satan. And one thing we know is that this revelation is what? It's about who Christ is. So if you know the answer to that question, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, I am? If you know the answer to it, you are on the right path. Amen. That's all of it. And then if you have gotten that, you see that the foundation of the church was built upon what? Revelation. Not upon what? A man. as Apostle Paul said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, I needed this one, but okay, we'll come back to that again. He said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. There's only one foundation. The church is built upon Jesus Christ. Only one foundation. And so, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. See? For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. But what do we see? We know that the Roman Catholic, we are not against any church. They say that the church was built upon Peter. And that Peter was what? The first pope in Rome. That's their belief. That's fine. But one thing we know for truth is that Apostle Peter even never set foot in Rome. But they say, historians and Bible, they all claim that while Paul was in Rome and all his epistles never mentioned Peter, that he was in Rome. Many of the epistles that we read, they were all written in prison in Rome. And he never mentioned that Peter, you are here with, and how was he imprisoned, and then the same believer, the same message, he is what? Made a pope. Anyway, everyone has his own belief, and we appreciate everyone's belief. Amen. But we want to stay by what? By the truth. Amen. Amen. So we see, when you look at this, you see that, let me quickly go through this so that we still we have. When you look at this, you see this, the Ephesus that we are talking about. The messenger is St. Paul. But the spirit that brought this message, it was a lion spirit. Christ. Amen. Brought the message. You see, this is the apostolic time. It was what? A pure word. Amen. The apostolic message was what? A pure word. Nothing was what? Mixed. But in the first church age, then we see what? The spirit of what? The Nicolaitan here. Dark, as from where? From the spirit of darkness. And here you see the first seal as it was opened, that the white horse, the deceiver. So you see how it is. And then when it comes to, when we come to Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, you see that it was what? A time of persecution. When he mounted what? The red horse. According to sources, about 68 million Christians were what? Were killed. This period here. So you see that what spirit do the Christians, they had? The spirit of an ox. You just put rope on an ox, you drive it anywhere, it will what? It will be going. You put an oak, a yoke on the neck, you just push, it will be going. And so the spirit that they had was that they feared no death. Amen. They gave their lives. Praise the Lord. But one thing is that All this, 1, 2, 3, 4, we have everything in our time. Because when someone comes through here with AK-44, brother, we here, no one will run away. Yeah, the young ones are laughing so much. Say, brother, we haven't married yet too. Yes, if anything happens, we are ready to die. Then to what? To denounce the name of the Lord, amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
So we are following what? As our time is up, but just for you, when we come back, we come to Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, then you will understand the work of what? That Nicolaitan spirit.
Amen.
What he did to the church, the Christians. So it's good that we got to go and pick him up and unveil him before we come back to Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira. Praise the Lord. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. The Lord, you saw us and you knew God as before, even the foundation of the world. So, Father, to bring us out from amongst them, you gave us, Lord, a prophet to show us, to unveil to us all your mysteries. And we are thankful that, oh God, today as we sit at your feet, our eyes are opened. And we know the truth. We know black and white. Lord, we thank you for this privilege. And this morning, how God, you bless our Sunday schools, from the children, the youth, and we the adults here, we say thank you so much. And Lord, now, oh, we want to worship you. We want to praise your name. We want to lift up your name. And so, Father, we want to commit our worship, our praises, everything, Lord, into your hands. Committing the sound leader and the musicians, Lord, into your hands. Father, oh, to prepare us, oh God, for the word that you got for us. So, Lord, your servant before you this moment, with your word, oh God, Lord, you know the needs of your people, spiritually and physically. Lord, you are the Jehovah Jireh. Provide our needs spiritually and physically, Lord. We surrender all to you this morning. Oh, have mercy upon us. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.